Good afternoon, everybody. This is the Design Commission, where, at least for now, we still have Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's off. Today is November 20th. Thanks for that, Tim, by the way. November 20th, 2014. I'd like to begin by introducing first the Bureau of Development Services staff who are here. They include Tim Herron. The members of the commission here today are myself, Gwen Morris, the chair, David Work, the vice chair, David Keltner, commissioner, and we are waiting for one more commissioner to make our quorum. Commission members are private citizens appointed by the mayor to provide review of new construction or remodeling of projects within designated design zones. We are not paid but serve entirely as volunteers. More detailed information regarding the purpose and function of the commission can be found in the Portland Zoning Code. Commission members must declare a conflict of interest bias or ex parte contact prior to the staff presentation of a particular case. If a commission member has a conflict of interest or bias, they are not allowed to participate in the commission discussion or voting on that project. If a commission member has had an ex parte contact, they must declare the substance of it on the record, and it is subject to rebuttal. Type 3. For Type 3 reviews, the following procedure is required. 1. Public testimony can only address the applicable approval criteria or other criteria in the comprehensive plan or land use regulations which the person believes apply to the decision. The applicable approval criteria are set forth in the Portland Zoning Code and more specifically identified in the staff report. The staff will identify the applicable criteria as part of the staff report. 2. Prior to the close of this hearing, any participant may request an opportunity to present additional evidence or testimony. If such a request is made, the commission will either grant a continuance or hold the record open to provide an opportunity to submit additional evidence and an opportunity to respond to that new evidence. 3. Failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the commission and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue precludes appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals based on that issue. 4. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to give the commission an opportunity to respond to the issues precludes an action for damages in circuit court under Oregon Revised Statute 197.796. The commission's decision on this case is final unless appealed to city council within 14 days of the decision. If the decision is not appealed, it must be recorded with the Multnomah County Recorder. Specific instructions will be provided with a notice of the commission's action. This hearing is recorded, and all speakers need to sit at the front table and give their name and mailing address before speaking. The following procedures will be used for each case. 1. Staff will show slides of the site and surrounding area and present a report, which will include the applicant's proposal, identify the applicable approval criteria, and include information on letters received on the request, findings, and a recommendation on the request. That's a 10-minute presentation. 2. Applicant will present their report. That's a 20-minute presentation. 3. Public testimony will be received in favor of the proposal. I will impose a 3-minute time limit. 4. Public testimony will be received in opposition to the proposal. Again, a 3-minute time limit. 5. The applicant will then be given an opportunity to rebut the testimony of the opponents. 6. Public testimony will be closed. 7. If any party requests an opportunity to submit additional evidence, the record will be held open 7 days to allow time to submit additional evidence. The record will be held open an additional 7 days to allow parties to submit evidence responding to the new evidence. 8. After the record is closed to all of the parties, the applicant will have an additional 7 days to submit final written arguments without additional evidence. 9. After the record is closed to all parties, commission members will discuss and vote on the request. In the case of a tie vote on any motion, that motion will fail. 10. If the commission's decision amends or overturns the Bureau of Development Services staff report, the adoption of new or revised findings will be required. At the time of its decision, the commission will announce when the revised findings will be considered. No additional testimony will be taken, but interested parties may attend. And we need to wait a little bit for a commissioner. For our first case.
Yes. Unless you wanted to hear me talk a little bit.
Sure.
Tim Herron, Bureau of Development Services.
The dulcet tones of Tim Herron.
You're welcome.
Everyone.
You're correct. We can't start the public hearing until we have a fourth commissioner present. So I do have an item of interest. Just an update relative to the Design Commission retreat for the fourth. We're all meeting here in this building, next room over at 11 o'clock. I found out last week the budgeted opportunity to pursue a design review audit was not passed by council.
Was not passed?
Which is unfortunate. I haven't had a chance to get the details from BPS other than that particular fact. It's unfortunate for a number of reasons. I won't get into that now. That said, how that impacts our retreat is that was going to be an item we were going to discuss relative to how to provide some direction to a potential consultant and looking at reviewing projects throughout the city. So I think what I'd like to do with your, and if you agree, and I assume you will, as I think there's still an opportunity to consider that anyway. What we typically do in our retreats is review our past projects and our past products that have come out of the Design Commission. So one of the items we had also for that retreat was to discuss a best practices memo that ultimately would be put together by the Design Commission and forwarded to Portland AIA or whomever else, but some more of a shorter version, maybe perhaps more specific to issues that would be more in design, architect, developer speak, and to that focus community. So a kind of precursor to our State of the City 2015 that we do before council. So what I'm gonna do is, with the design audit kind of off the table specifically with BPS in the room, meaning not being there, I'm gonna go back and kind of do a more traditional retreat where I'll pull up the last year's worth of projects. And what we can do is use that as the baseline to kind of set the stage and best inform that best practices memo. So I wanted to run that by you, see if any thoughts or concerns, or if there was something else you wanted to use that two-hour time together that we have in that retreat. But in my mind, I think a best practices conversation is much like what we do at every retreat anyway. I just think now we have the fortitude to formalize it and present it more directly.
Yeah, I like the idea of a product coming out of the retreat that
yes.
people can use for the next 3 months.
I think it's a great idea.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
I will.
Any objections from the other side of the table or additions?
Okay. I'll cast a wide net, and I have lots of other ideas I could share with you at the retreat, but I'll run with it, and you can just come with your open minds, and we'll provide lunch. As always.
Fantastic. All right.
Thank you.
Commissioner Kaiser has joined us, and we are on to our next item on our agenda. It's LU14-176475 DZM, the Miracle Central Project. The address is 1306 Northeast 2nd Avenue. The applicant is Ben White of Carlton Hart Architecture, and Stacy Monroe is our planner. Welcome, Stacy.
Hello. Good afternoon. Before I get started on my brief presentation, I wanted to bring something to your attention. You received a revised submittal packet in your packets last week, and I wanted to bring to your attention the memo that accompanied that packet and some additional details that didn't make it into the revised set have been attached to the memo. So I don't know if you've had an opportunity to flip through those details, but just wanted to note those. So, briefly, Miracle Central project, it came before the Commission in the form of a DAR back in May of this past year. Our first hearing on October 16th, where staff prepared a staff report not recommending approval, stating concerns with materials and coherency. The Commission provided additional feedback at that hearing, which I briefly summarized on the screen. Some additional items that needed additional attention, specifically the materials. To limit the use of fiber cement board or consider a different material. The commission prioritized the facades in terms of where to place the higher quality material. In order of hierarchy, it was the street, the courtyard, and then the end walls. And then to ensure that these changes made sense with the design concept. The ground level, improvements to the ground level for a more urban condition were recommended, removing the majority of the raised planters, improving the bench material for real wood, to explore additional glazing at the ground level, and to better screen or incorporate the gas meter. The upper facades, there was a few additional details that were discussed regarding the balcony attachment and fascia detail and the roof edge detail, and to explore larger sizes for the windows that occurred at the east and north ends of the street facades. And lastly, there was some discussion on the courtyard. There wasn't a consensus by the commission, but there was discussion about it being elevated or having two different elevations and the limited accessibility that it would provide. And then also its ability to have light access to the courtyard, or then also concerns with you with it elevating the space to where it would be more adjacent to surface parking areas. So the applicant has made revisions to the project that have been very responsive to the majority of these concerns, and I'm gonna let them walk through those changes in detail. So staff has prepared a revised staff report that you have in your packets recommending approval. The changes to the report have been highlighted for your convenience, so if you wanted to flip through those revised findings. So as revised, staff concludes that the approval criteria of the Central City Fundamental Design Guidelines, the Lloyd District Design Guidelines, and the modification approval criteria have all been met. And staff recommends approval of the project, including the modification to reduce the bike parking space width for long-term spaces and the location requirement for a short-term. And that's the end of my presentation.
Thank you. Are there questions of Stacy before we keep going? Okay, thanks. Go ahead with your presentation then. For the record, Commissioner Simpson has joined us. Go ahead. Oh, you're almost ready, Chris.
Yeah, looks good. Thanks.
Thanks.
Good afternoon. My name is Ben White with Carlson Hart Architecture, presenting the Miracle Central project. Just as a reminder, the Miracle Central is a collaboration between the Miracles Club and Central City Concern, and will provide alcohol and drug-free housing for working people who are in recovery. It includes 47 units of affordable housing, along with community support and peer mentoring services. This is the wrong thing. Give me 1 second.
Next week.
That's the drawing packet, not the presentation.
Throwback Thursday.
Sorry about that. They both look the same in the beginning. So I'll just do a brief run through the plans to refresh your memory of the design, but spend some more time reviewing the advice we received at the last hearing and the changes that we've made. The site is a quarter block located here in Northeast at 2nd and Wasco in the Lloyd Center. The primary entrance for the residence is off of 2nd Avenue, the entry lobby and some support areas, and entrance for the offices is off of Wasco. And we've arranged the active use spaces along the street frontage with a community meeting room that's oriented towards the corner at the intersection. The typical residential floor plan is an L-shaped configuration. It's a mix of one bedrooms, two bedrooms, and studios with some circulation and utility spaces arranged towards the ends of the corridors. The sixth floor is a unique plan in that they're all studio units, and this is set back from the residential floors below, similar to the first floor recess. So we discussed at the last hearing, I think the design had really come a long way since our design advice hearing. But we reviewed a few outstanding items which needed a bit more attention. The first comments were relative to the design of the streetscape and the pedestrian environment at the first floor. So here's the previous design facing Wasco. Along Wasco, adjacent to these offices, we had some narrow raised planters between the building and the sidewalk. I think the thought in general was that they were too narrow to be very viable for good plant growth. We also had a raised planter at the corner of the building near the intersection in front of the community room. And we discussed this element quite a bit, but the prevailing direction that we got was that these often don't look good over time, and that that planter was really inhibiting the street presence of a defined building wall at that corner. We also had this gas meter, which was in a recessed area, but it was exposed, and it was suggested we looked at some ways to potentially screen that. So on the old west elevation, again, the raised planter in front of the community room at the corner, And then we had another raised planter at the primary residential entry. We discussed this planter as really providing a more welcoming element at the front door for the residents of the building, and the integrated seating out front providing serving a function for someone waiting for a ride or meeting a friend. So it's suggested that we take a look at the mix of plantings to help achieve the softening effect we were going for, and then also that we should look at revising the bench material from a composite lumber to a real wood. So here's the new south elevation. You can see why we removed those planters in front of the offices. Also removed the planter at the community room. And then we were able to carve out an area in the plan to tuck the gas meter into and put a metal mesh screen door on that. That's the same proportion as the other service doors in that area. The new elevation facing second, again, the planter, the raised planter removed at the building corner, sort of expressing the base of the building more clearly. And then we incorporated a mix of feathery grasses and evergreen plants in the planter at the raised entry to soften it a bit. And we did go ahead and revise the material of the bench from a plastic lumber to ipe. So in plan, briefly, you can just see where we created that alcove for the gas meter at the southeast corner. This narrow strip of planters was removed. And then we removed the planter on both sides of the community room. We extended the sidewalk up to the face of the building, so we're providing a little bit more weather-protected area in there for pedestrians as well as the residents. There's the view from the southwest corner. Again, more defined building presence at the intersection. View along Wasco with those planters removed, and then this area here where we have the screened enclosure for the gas meter. And the perspective along second with the raised planters removed there, and then the mix of planting materials in the entrance where previously we just had one type of planting. So some of the discussion that we had regarding the elevations really came down to two primary suggestions. I think one which really caused us to reinvestigate the location of some of the exterior finishes, and then a simpler modification to a few of the windows. So again, here's the old south elevation. I think in general it was felt that we still had a bit too much fiber cement panel on the facades facing the street. It was suggested we investigate alternate materials and possibly extending the brick out to the edge of this facade to reduce the amount of panel there. Similarly, on the west facade, a bit too much fiber cement. And then there was some comments that these windows here in that recessed area were a bit out of place potentially with the rest of the windows in terms of their proportion. So those were intended to match these stair windows on the south side. That's why those were both that same proportion. So moving around to the north elevation, this was almost entirely fiber cement panel where we turned the corner there. And the east elevation, not as bad in terms of proportion of materials, but the thought was maybe we could consider using some of this brick in another location that would be more beneficial to the design. So here is the new south elevation. We did extend the brick across the facade on floors 2 through 5, and that went along with an extension of that mass, so this overall form reads as one mass. We also revised the windows that were in that area so that they were matching the ones that were used elsewhere. It took a little bit of redesign for our stair in plan in order to get these windows to line up at the same floor line as the other windows, where previously they were staggered based on the relationship to the intermediate landings. So then we turned the corner with that brick and took that back to the recess at the corridor, really feeling strongly that we wanted to express that element as a solid mass, as had been done in the previous design in some other areas. So here's those changes. at that southeast corner, what it looked like before with the windows, the materials, and that mass extended to the property line. So pretty similarly, the elevation on the west facing Second, we extended the brick to that north edge to the property line. We revised the windows in that to match the rest of the composition, and then wrapped that brick around the corner so that viewed in perspective, that whole form read as a mass rather than a plane of brick. So in plan, what that meant was we had a recess formerly at this area. We actually extended that, increased the square footage slightly at the studio units. We also brought the brick out, or I'm sorry, the stair out to integrate with the brick mass in the same plane, and then again reconfigured the layout of the stair itself. So here's the view from the intersection with the revisions to the facades. And so there's a little bit of cost increase due to the additional square footage at the building corners, but we really worked to minimize the impacts of the additional brick. As you know, working with the publicly funded project for affordable housing really means focusing the effort on the most prominent areas of the building where people interact with it the most. So that was what we aimed for. We did explore some possibilities of alternate materials to the fiber cement panel, including metal panel and other cement panel products, but a holistic replacement of the material was really cost prohibitive for the project. So we looked at briefly some options for replacing the material in limited areas, not a holistic replacement, but really the introduction of another material complicated the overall palette and didn't seem appropriate to the design at all. So as suggested in the last hearing, we really focused our efforts on redeploying roughly the same amount of brick and mix of materials we were already using in a more effective manner. So here's the view along Second with those changes. One of the potential strategy, as Stacy mentioned, was to look at the application of brick in terms of a hierarchy of the street-facing facade, then the courtyard elevation, and then the north and east-facing property line facades. And the thought behind that being that if a building is built immediately adjacent to that, those are going to be covered up. We explored some options along those lines, and I'll show you a few images of that, but we had some concerns with the design feeling really unresolved at those corners, and there really wasn't a way to maintain the goals of the materials to massing that we were aiming for. We also gave it some consideration as a team and really felt that it may be some time before a building is built on one or the other or both of those properties. And then there's no guarantee that it's going to be built right up to that corner when it does. So we wanted to have a design that really seemed more cohesive for the long term. Here's a view from the southeast facing Wasco. So we chose to place the brick on the ground floor where people interact with it most, and then Second on these masses facing the street with a higher visibility. What we did was we redeployed some of the brick that was used on this courtyard elevation and replaced that with fiber cement panel. It was important for us in the courtyard to maintain a brick at all of the ground floor areas, not only for durability, but also for the residents' experience of this space. And we actually increased the area of brick here some where we previously had the base of this stair tower was a concrete wall before, so we've now got brick on all sides at that elevation. There was some discussion about the courtyard design at the last hearing, and the aim of the design we felt was really to provide some usable outdoor space for the residents, but we're also providing enough stormwater planters to serve as detention for all of the stormwater from the building roof. We had really poor infiltration, so those had to be really deep. But that change in level also addresses the change in grade from this floor to the adjacent properties. So we've maintained the design. We looked at both of those gathering areas as equivalent amenities in terms of accessibility, and feel the changes in elevation and seating opportunities really allow a variety of ways to experience this space. So I wanted to briefly show you some of the other options we explored as we looked at redistributing the materials. First, this is the extension of the brick out to the corner at the northwest and gave it just a short 4-foot return. And here is that same approach from Wasco, and then how that looked maintaining the same approach on the courtyard facade. It maintained mostly panel on these end facades where the along the property line, but it really felt as if these were became sort of two-dimensional applications of the material. And this was the previous design where we actually had a form of a mass expressed rather than just that two-dimensional surface. So what felt really sort of incongruous was this material transition for no reason. There's nothing in the plan or the massing that says that should happen like that. Similarly on this end, the east end, and it was something that if that were exposed for a longer period of time would feel very unresolved. So here's one other alternate study that we looked at where we extended the brick all the way out to the property line, wrapped it back to the building corner. This was before we investigated changing the windows to eliminate the stagger. But we were also looking at this area in the back to see if there was a way we could mimic through the use of color, the brick massing, previous the design. This also felt pretty artificial, especially where we had the fiber cement adjacent to fiber cement and a change in color for no particular reason. But also, I think no matter how hard we try, we know that that color is not going to match the brick exactly. The textural nature of the brick and the mortar just causes enough variation in color that no matter how hard we try, we wouldn't be able to achieve that. So again, the east elevation, appears like if we're not matching the brick, then we're introducing yet another material into the design, which we wanted to avoid. Finally, there are a couple of more specific areas it was suggested we take a look at the last hearing. One of those was the small roof area above the brick where the sixth floor is recessed, and the concern raised for the drainage of water on that brick face. We wanted to maintain the appearance of the massing, so we wanted to keep a strong corner there and not direct water back towards the building and some sort of elaborate internal drainage system. So we really focused on the design of this edge, and we created a flashing profile here, which extended from the face of the brick an inch and included a reveal as well as a hem drip edge to try to help keep water away from that edge. I think we realize that water is going to hit the face of the brick, but if we can keep it away when it's just slowly dripping off that edge, that would help address that issue. And then the balcony guardrail supports. There was a concern that this support, as we had it previously detailed, it was held tight to the fascia here at the ledger at the leading edge of the balcony, and the concern for that not allowing proper drainage. So we revised this detail similar to one we've used on other projects where we include a spacer between the vertical support and the fascia, which allows us to create the drip edge profile at the edge of the balcony, which can run continuously along behind the supports without interruption to shed water off of that top edge. There's also a comment that the fiber cement fascia could potentially produce an uneven bottom edge. So we introduced a sheet metal flashing piece along there to help clean up that edge and make sure we had an even appearance. So I wanted to just briefly, before I wrap up, show some images of the progression of the design from the initial hearing to today. This is the design we originally came in with, viewed from Wasco. Some of the biggest issues we addressed were those numerous ins and outs of the top floor, multiple materials and offsets and massing at the ends of the building. Similarly, from second, we also didn't have a very defined building entry, and the patterning of windows seemed like it wasn't a coherent composition. So this was the design we brought in at the last hearing, and I really felt we came a long way based on those suggestions we got at that hearing in simplifying the forms and materials of the building, really simplifying the pattern of the openings, again from the west, and then again developing a pattern of windows that created a better composition across the entire facade. So then here we are with that final extension, the real simplification of these three elements of the diagram, same thing along second, and then viewed from the intersection. So overall, I felt there were some good suggestions made, and we were able to make some changes in the design to refine things from where we were at the last hearing. So with that, I'd like to open it up for any questions.
Any questions of the applicants?
Thank you, Ben. Can you just talk about the Hardy panel? I know you spoke about this last time, but how is it joined? Is it each piece flashed? Or
yeah, we actually so it would be flashed continuously at the bottom edge, but we also have a vertical reveal in between the panels as well as at the corner. We have some samples of that if you want to. We can pass that around.
So on the end panels where there's the big or on the back elevation of the project, uh-huh. All the horizontals are flashed. So when you can you go to the back elevation just for a second, please? Yeah. Oh, so they land like this.
Yeah, right.
But then the bottom is flashed.
Yeah.
Out over the panel.
Over the panel, which is
yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
Yep. Does this show what you're looking at?
Yeah. So I'm just curious. So when you show the floor lines there,
yes.
They're all. Is that a constraint of the height of the board, or is that what you guys wanted to do?
Well, I think it's a constraint of the height of the board, and it's also to create some interest in that composition with the patterning of those. There would be two types of flashing. One would be a true through wall flashing, which occurred at each floor line, and then we would have one that has the same profile but was mounted at the face of the furring strip behind the panel instead, so we're allowing drainage for the entire height of each floor.
How tall do those boards, I'm just curious, how tall are those boards? How big can you get those boards?
The typical sheets are 4x8. They are available in 4x10.
Mm-hmm. And so is that a 4x8 shown, or
it's a 4x8.
I'm just curious.
This is an 8-foot division okay. Right here. Yeah.
Okay, great. The windows in the studios that used to be the stair kind of window, now they're the studio window. Mm-hmm. Are those all fixed, or are those operable?
Those ones are fixed. The other ones with two panels are operable.
So it's a single pane. Just like shown, that's a pretty large sheet of glass, just in the, and that's a vinyl window, is that right?
Yes, it is. It's a like commercial vinyl window, a VPI window, and then these ones have an operable light in them, and that's in that same unit.
Okay. And the restroom, a little bathroom, the little square ones, are those operational? Or are those fixed in the bathrooms?
Those ones are fixed in there. One of the things that we were trying to do with those large windows, particularly in the studio units on the top floor, they're oriented across from the entrance to those units so that you're directly looking out a large opening as you're coming into the space. But they're adjacent to the kitchen, so we kept the operable over in the more sort of living room area.
Those are probably all tempered, right? They're all tempered glass? Because they come down pretty low. They come down below 42 inches.
They're not within 12 inches of the floor.
Oh, is that what?
Yeah.
Like 20. Okay. All right, great. Thanks.
Any other questions? Okay. Well, we have seen this case a number of times, so if there aren't other questions. We can just move on to deliberation if there aren't other questions. Okay. All right, great. So does anyone want to start off today?
Well,
not everyone wants. Go ahead.
Coming forward.
Yeah. Go for it, Mr. Mark.
So, okay. Ben, what were your thoughts? I have to say, I think I really appreciate the thoroughness of going back in time and showing us what we asked you to do and helping us remember. I did remember most of those things, and I do think it has improved quite a bit. And for me, I'm okay with it redistributing the percentage of the material that you had it still is an issue we kind of grapple with every session here about the percentage and should we be more clear on that. And I think as we're coming into more focus with the issue and how to deal with it, the more successful areas of the fiber cement are the areas that are contained within another framework of material, like the balconies and things like that. When it's a large expanse of wall, it's kind of less successful. So I don't know if that's something we should start looking for and advising on, and if that's something we all agree on or not. But when I look at it, I see that as a successful application of the material. And I think overall the building is now, in my opinion, coherent. I think it's a very dignified and a place that people would enjoy being in, and the first floor in particular, with the transparency that it has and living there, because I just think it doesn't say I'm not trying to be this by being this other thing. It's a very well-balanced and I think for me, approvable. So.
Thanks.
Anyone else want to jump in? You want to jump in, Mr. Keltner? Okay. Mr. Kaiser, Simpson, any comments to add?
I too agree. I think it's come a long way. Thank you guys for all the hard work you've done. And I too am kind of torn. It's interesting. There's examples now around Portland of this hardy board used in these large applications. And it's, looking at that flashing you have, it's pretty thin material. They're coming out with thicker material now, I'm sure you guys know, thicker boards. And what's unfortunate about this stuff is that it's not stable enough to kind of hold its own, so it starts to pull away at the corners and not so much buckle, but kind of give up the ghost a bit. So it kind of separates from the attachment points, and you can just see shadow lines now. Now that we're into it a few years of this material, you can see projects showing where it's cupping. And so each one of these joints just kind of has a little bit of a character that I don't think is necessarily what the intent was.
Ben, is that a joint that don't have, that are like gaps between the boards, or are they?
I think, along the, on the flashing where it's flashed, horizontally, starts to peel away, yeah. And so it causes different shadow lines at that point and kind of has a lot of movement on this stuff. So, and it's, personally, I think it's an unfortunate stage we're all going through where this material is so inexpensive and appealing, and I think we're doing huge expanses of this stuff around the city, and I think in 15 years we'll all regret it, is my personal opinion. But I do totally appreciate with this tight budget, with the budget that you guys are working with, the moves that you've made about moving around to the back, because this is, and Commissioner Keltner has spoken about this well before, in this use where it's kind of all in enclosed and the edges aren't exposed, I think it works much better. But regardless, now all your tenants and the occupants have the back face to look at. So I just think we'll regret it. But I think it's the best, least expensive material to cover large expanses easily right now. And it's just kind of low-hanging fruit, in my opinion, which is too bad. I mean, I don't know necessarily what we all did in the past without this stuff. I mean, I don't know why budgets all of a sudden just tightened up so bad that they just had to adopt a whole new kind of material? What were we doing before? I guess the backs were not often relegated to be just a totally different material, I guess. But, you know, that said, it's, I think, as Commissioner Work said, we're trying to understand this material and see what it's doing to try to respond. But anyways, that's a kind of long-winded way of struggling with this product. The fixed windows, that's why I was asking about it. It's interesting because everything else feels, in projects like this, particularly in brick, when you have a big fixed window like that, it has a different feel, and I can't quite put my finger on it. It looks like a renovation. You know, a lot of buildings in the 80s and 90s went through old renovations of buildings. They renovated them, stuck in these big fixed frame, fixed windows into old buildings, and it's just like, it's so incongruous. So it almost, my only hang-up kind of on these facades is those large fixed windows in a residential project like this. In this kind of design, I think it's because it feels like a residential design. I certainly won't delay the project because of that, but that's just something that kind of keeps catching my eye. And it almost feels like it needs a mullion or needs to be a slider, needs to have a horizontal and then operable casement or something like that to give it, to pull it back into the kind of the cohesiveness of the balance of the building. It feels like the one departure, in my opinion. But otherwise, yeah, it's great work, great progress from the beginning. I hope you guys feel the same, that from that first iteration to this last one, it's an improvement, because I certainly do. So, thank you.
Thanks, Commissioner Kaiser. Commissioner Simpson?
Without being too redundant, I guess I'll just echo same sentiments about the materiality in terms of your use of the panel. I agree with the way you've deployed it. I understand why you've deployed it the way you have, and it's a far better solution than before. I agree with Ben regarding the inoperable windows as well, and I just wanted to also say I really appreciate the moves you made with the ground floor on the two frontage sides of the building. I think it's, obviously you were listening closely, and really appreciate that. Thanks,
Mr. Simpson. Commissioner Keltner? Nothing to add? Okay, great. Well, I wanted to thank you very much for coming in, and I believe you did a design advice and working with us through the process. I also appreciate the opportunity to see the building evolve over time, as Commissioner Wark had said. And I appreciate you bringing in alternates, showing us that you studied some of the things that we suggested, and I do think that you've made the right choice in terms of how you deploy the brick. And this conversation about Hardy Panel, I think, is definitely a to be continued. I wouldn't hold your project up over it because I don't think you heard us say you can't use it in that big of an expanse at the last hearing. But I think it's one that we need to talk about as we move into future projects. And we say these things on the record so people are kind of put on notice. Ben, I don't know what we did before Hardy Panel put more people in fewer apartments. Doubled up bunk beds. I don't know. So, it's a challenge, and it's a challenge for projects, especially like this one. And I mean, the truth of the matter is that we need more of this kind of housing in Portland, and both supportive housing and drug and alcohol free housing, and then just affordable housing in general. And so, it's a challenge that I think we need to sort of help our fellow design community members figure out. So I appreciate the hard work that you put into this project. I think it's imminently approvable, and I'm ready to call for a vote. So if anyone wants to move to approve the staff report, I'm ready for that.
Actually, I guess I do.
Oh, okay. Commissioner Keltner, come on in.
I'm just trying to think forward to future projects. You'll be back in here hopefully with other projects. And that I think, and maybe in particular for this client who will hopefully do more projects in the city. I think starting in the very beginning, really these decisions are made kind of during budgeting phases and pro forma writing phases. And I think if there's a kind of understanding of particular sites in the city, if they're in design overlays, that there's going to be a higher bar set on the kind of material and what you're going to have to do with the envelope, like right from the very beginning. Because I think what's really hard on teams And your experience in it is sort of you get farther down the process and many other things are kind of locked in as far as design decisions. And it seems like if early on just understanding that the in particular the kind of material palette is going to need to be of a level that's more durable, which for the long term for the client is actually, if they're meaning to hold on to these for a long time, is more economical anyway. It's just the kind of first cost. But getting that information in there very early so that you're, you know, able to kind of balance it with all the other factors of design throughout, I think would be a really, I really strongly advise it. I see this as kind of an exception. I mean, I think you've responded really well to the comments, and I, even though we try not to, I think I can't help but think there is a little bit of a conscience thing about wanting to have this happen, you know, and understanding the client. I think we're not supposed to do that, but I can't help but think it's subconsciously influencing us, because there is, this is deployed on the kind of back half of the building in a way that I think is unacceptable from our typical, you know, approach. I mean, if we saw this on a typical project, I'd be hard pressed to see us kind of approving it. So anyway, going forward, I support the project. I think you've responded to our comments from last time really well, and I really appreciate that. But I would strongly advise kind of on future projects with this client and any others, you know, that are in a design overlay like this where you're going to be here, you've got to, right from the get-go, make some different assumptions about what the skin of the building is.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks. I appreciate it. You really make an effort to do that, and it's a challenge from the get-go.
I bet.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Keltner, for those comments. I will still entertain a motion if someone's willing to give one.
I'll make a motion to accept the staff report as written. Friendly suggestion to maybe make those windows operable.
Mm-hmm. A second.
Great. Thank you. Can you call roll, please, Amy?
Aye.
Ms.
Kaiser?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Congratulations and good luck with your project.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it.